Oh, I could listen to this all day long. That's Mukta Sambar. He's a drummer and percussionist of legendary proportion, of Moroccan and Senegalese descent, and he's capably demonstrating the benefits of both. And he was just performing live. I just like this particular performance, but you should get to know him, Mukta Sambar. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and it is Free Your Mind Friday. It's our town hall meeting, which you don't have to wait for every 4 years. We have our own town hall going here every single week, and we gather here, the greatest open forum on the planet, and we exchange opinions and ideas and our thoughts about things, about the critical issues of the day. And we build community by doing so, and we engage in peer-to-peer education. This is the purpose of Free Your Mind Friday. And of course, it is immaterial whether people agree or disagree with what you have to say. It is important only that you make a cogent and logical argument to back up your position. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. Lots and lots of ground to cover, I could imagine, given the stories of the week. But let's start in Chicago with Henry. Hello, Henry, you're on the air.
Hey, Eutrice, how's it going?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing good. Chicago looks like it's headed for another war on the education front.
I see you have a strike all but getting ready to happen.
Yes, yes, and it is rooted in deep, deep political wars with the city and also with the state of Illinois. A couple of weeks ago, or maybe last week, I think, Governor Bruce Rauner of Illinois had threatened to do a massive takeover of the Chicago Public School and file bankruptcy. Now, you know, as you and some of the listeners know, when you bring on experts from, you know, Detroit, Michigan, about the mass takeover of those cities, it smells and reeks the same thing here when you start to hear stuff like that. And, you know, as you know, and as we all know, this was eventually going to, you know, happen, or they were going to try to, you know, implement these, you know, Michigan-type plans upon these major cities. But it looks like Illinois is planning on doing the same thing with the Chicago Public Schools with the takeover. And, you know, to me, that's typically the first phase of, you know, is the takeover of the schools. But
filing of bankruptcy. You see, but when I said that Detroit was serving as a template for a nationwide program, you see how it's unfolding before our very eyes.
Yeah, it is. And you know, it's so funny when you look at when you dig deep into the economic problems of CPS, you know, because the one thing that they always put in the forefront of the economic problems of the Chicago Public Schools and overall the city of Chicago is they always talk about the pension. But they never, ever discuss about any of the other financial issues that play a part into this, you know, shortfall of financial, you know, this financial shortfall that Chicago Public Schools and the city of Chicago is overall suffering. Because one of the things that has come out recently was these high interest loans that Chicago Public Schools keep taking out and putting deeper and deeper and further into debt. And I remember there was some sort of economic financial expert that you had, I think sometime last year, talking about the Detroit bankruptcy and
that
how
was
it
Tom, Tom Barrow.
Yes, that was him. And you know, I started to remember that conversation you had with them on how it was unnecessary, you know, for Detroit to even file bankruptcy. And he was talking about there was a purpose of the city to go bankrupt so the state can take over. And I mean, it looks like that playbook is running, you know, right here in Chicago, where they're just intentionally, you know, getting deeper and deeper into debt. And, you know, I'm pretty sure there will be an attempt to for the state to, you know, to take over CPS and file the bankruptcy that they want to do. But yeah, it is the you know, the coming of a huge war, a huge political war that's going to happen.
But let's take a look at the triangulation here, if you will. Mm-hmm. Rahm Emanuel, Chicago is home to the president, the current president, the aspiring president, actually, who changed her state. Hillary Clinton has Chicago mm-hmm. roots. All right, Barack mm-hmm. Obama is from Chicago. The current mayor was a chief of staff for Bill Clinton mm-hmm. and a major advisor to Barack Obama. So we have very heavy Democratic entanglement here. And the Secretary of Education, who has, of course, now resigned, came from Chicago. And it was he who implemented this idea of the new vision for schools nationwide under the Democrats. The public school system in some of the major states and major cities were just systematically dismantled. Rahm Emanuel is on a school closing binge in order to hand that over to real estate. I don't know whether you remember Dr. Thomas Pedroni, who has been with us several times discussing the incredible value that is now seen in empty, vacant schools.
Mm-hmm.
And how they now realigning in these major cities, the schools have to be shut down in order for the real estate interests to take over and for the system to, quote, reimagine these cities, a different design.
Mm-hmm.
And it requires systematically emptying these cities of the undesirable populations. And there are people who sat up all night and all day determining which communities will be seen as worth saving and which will not be saved. All of this is happening under a successive Democratic administrations. And we don't hear anything about that.
This is
why I say if we are politically astute, somebody's going to have to pay, and the Democratic Party ought to pay. Just shut them down. Absolutely. This party is of no use. In fact, it is lethal to the interests of the very people whose support has maintained its power for this long. And this is the story. But I've been watching and taking a look at how Chicago is gearing up. The Chicago Teachers Union is gearing up. It has already the talk of a strike, and the earliest will be probably in April, because by law they cannot go on strike until then.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be a throwdown. And here, this is what is so upsetting, and people should really begin to make these links. It is a Democratic administration that is giving us these problems. And it is a Democratic administration, successive Democratic administrations, that have been enacting the same goals, the same template as the so-called conservative Republicans. So we have no use for a party like that.
Yes, yes. And before I close here, you know, going back to Arne Duncan, unfortunately, he has moved back to Chicago, and I'm just afraid that, you know, he's going to be taking a position once this attempt of school takeovers, you know, happens, you know, by the state. And also, too, you know, most people forget that it was Arne Duncan's administration, when he was the CEO of the Chicago Public Schools, when the school deficit went from, I guess, like $1 billion to like $9 billion. So it was under his administration that continued the largest shortfall, you know, of the financial crisis. And, you know, we talk about this, too, about how many schools he's closed under his administration, in particular, a lot of high schools.
I'm trying to say, well, we've been talking about this for at least 2 years. We took the time to deconstruct, you know, step by step what was going on in Detroit to let people know this is how this thing is going to fall. This is how it's going to go. Mm-hmm. And the question is, there are people who are fighting, as you know, we've tapped into the resistance on this program, but the overarching, the larger entities are not in this fight at all. And it is of devastating consequence what is happening, and it's happening in slow motion, and we're not seeing a response in accordance with the enormity of the problem. And I contend it is genocidal in nature. I'm not exaggerating here. I think this is, in fact, what will be the ultimate goal, that people will simply cease to exist. And that's really what they're implementing all these policies and all these different levels, that when they meet up with each other and overlay each other, basically these are life-threatening things. And the fact that in 2016 at a presidential race, we're hearing all these nonsensical made-up issues that have nothing to do with the urgency of life at the city level for a lot of people, millions of people caught right here at this juncture with the basics not in place: housing, healthcare, education, employment. You know, the president today is lying again to the public, saying, well, the job growth is great, and people are getting larger paychecks and all this kind of nonsense. And the very report that they are saying, I read it this morning, the very report that they're talking about with unemployment, the very report is saying the unemployment for African-Americans remains twice as high as the national so-called low rate that they're touting, and the number of long-term unemployed has not changed since last June. Now, this tells you that the president, the party, the politicians, they are engaged in a deliberate effort of to deceive. And we have to punish these people. The only thing we've got is this vote, and we've got to decide how to use it strategically so that we punish, absolutely punish, this horrible party for retrograde policies, going back now, taking us right back to the slavery era. And that's where the Democratic Party was born. Thanks for getting us started today, Henry. And
all right, thank you.
Keeping a tab on your city. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Let's go to Brooklyn. Mitchell, you're on the air.
Hi. Good afternoon, Latrice. How are you?
Fine, thank you, Mitchell. How are you?
Good. I'm calling about the young man that got shot in Cleveland, Tamir Rice, the 12-year-old boy that got shot by the police officers, and the prosecutors decided, or he played it upon the people, that he didn't. There was no indictment necessary in that case.
Correct.
There's an online petition that's put out by colorofchange.org. To petition the Justice Department to get involved with the case, to do a comprehensive investigation of the grand jury, and to bring on a special prosecutor. Now, for people to get involved, and already they have 550,000 signatures, and I think if they get 100,000 signatures, the Justice Department will have to look into it. Now, for those that would like to get involved, can I give the website again?
Absolutely.
It's called thecolorofchange.org. And if you type in Tamri Rice, his petition will come up, and you can sign the petition and be involved in this because we just can't let this go by unchallenged. Whatever can be done can be done. But this petition is a great thing, I think.
Well, I have some observations here with regard to this petition. I think it is a good thing that people are concerned and insist that these cases, and particularly this particular case, Tamir Rice, be paid attention to. But we already have gotten the signal from two consecutive U.S. attorneys general, and that is Eric Holder, who was the precursor to Loretta Lynch, both of them African-American, and neither of them committed to appointing anybody to prosecute anybody. In fact, Loretta Lynch, I shared a tape of her making it very clear that investigations that are going to be undertaken by the Justice Department under her stewardship, like the situation under Eric Holder's stewardship, is not interested in pursuing the prosecution of anyone. She said pointedly that the Justice Department will be looking at patterns and practices, administrative stuff.
Yeah.
They're not looking to flex their prosecutorial muscles at all. And it's not just about appointing a special prosecutor. And Alton Maddox, our legal correspondent here and our legal guide, has repeatedly told us the issue here is that the system, all the way up, and I would say even including the U.S. Attorney General's office, it's so corrupt and compromised. If they believe that they would suffer some political fallout or damage if they should press the button too hard, guess what? They're not interested in pressing the buttons. Eric Holder was given he had every thing at his disposal in the aftermath of the shooting death of Michael Brown to vigorously prosecute that case.
And didn't.
He just did a report, and next thing you know, his foot was out the door.
Loretta Lynch
had a news conference, and I asked, am I the only person in the United States who understood that the U.S. Attorney General, the highest prosecutorial authority in the country, made it a point to say there will be no prosecutions coming out of her office in the matter of these police killings? That's what she was looking at, was just to determine whether there were patterns and practices of racial discrimination. And that is not enough. Because surely they know that the prosecutors in the case also are corrupt. That the prosecutions of these cases, the prosecutions are compromised because of the political arrangements in these towns and cities where these killings occur.
Yeah.
The Justice Department itself is charged with collecting the information. They shouldn't have to go out and make it a point that, oh, well, we are going to do an investigation. These facts and figures are part of its job to collect them, to monitor them, and to spot patterns and practices. They're not supposed to go out and investigate that. That is part of their normal function. What we should have, and the pressure should be, to force her to resign. Force a resignation and move at the local level, press the buttons at the local level. because these things are fully within the control of the local folk. In the city of New York, in the city of Cleveland, in the city of Ferguson, in Los Angeles, and so forth. The police commissioner is directly accountable to the city council.
Yes, right.
Okay, but we're not hearing anything from the city council. In New York City, I have yet to hear the city council, which, by the way, the irony is that they have a very significant representation of African-Americans and Latinos for the first time in history. And precisely at the time that we have a numerical advantage, guess what? We have no power. They should be calling the mayor. They should be firing the police commissioner because that's within their jurisdiction. That's within their authority. Then you don't have to go petitioning the federal government. We see no indication of people flexing their political muscle at the local level. They should be working hard to move the governor out of office.
Yeah.
And also anybody else that impedes justice, including the U.S. Attorney General, she should be recalled. She's not fit for the job. Mm-hmm. You see, we're playing games.
Oh, okay. All right.
And wasting time. And in the meantime, people are dying. We have a report issued just this week that a small minority of police officers in Chicago are accounting for 33% of the lawsuits, which means they know it. They know these things, and it's still not fixed. Then somebody's got to go. Look, a city is a corporation, is it not?
Okay.
A city is a corporation. And like any other corporation, when the CEO has a disaster on his or her hands, the CEO gets cut. The CEO's got to go. You can't tell me all these years, decade after decade after decade, we're seeing the same patterns and people are doing the same silly things, wasting time. No. If you're serious, you decide that somebody is going to have to go to jail and somebody's going to have to pay a price. And my suggestion is we absolutely punish, absolutely destroy the Democratic Party. Withhold your support, do anything, but bring it down while you launch your own. But absolutely destroy it because it's destroying you. And we should not be in a position in 2016 still petitioning for help, still begging for justice. You either get serious or you don't.
Yeah.
That's where we are. We shouldn't be petitioning anything.
But how is it that Rodney King, when this thing happened with Rodney King out in California, I mean, the police officers were acquitted from the jury, but the president came in, George Bush. He was the president at that time, the first George Bush. And they sent the Justice Department out there, and these police officers were indicted.
Well, it tells you that the system is amenable to the people who have the power to get things done. If we act like we have no power, then guess what? We get nothing done. If people were to wake up tomorrow, if all the powerless people in this country were to wake up tomorrow and decide we are going to get A done, guess what? We just have not decided that we need to be serious.
Oh, okay. Mm.
We have to resolve that you either understand the power that you have and you're serious about it, We're not playing games, and this is not about gradual change. We've had enough gradual change, centuries of gradual change. That should be done, over, and done with. This is time to get this done. Whoever gets it done, that's where we're going.
Okay. All right. Well, if people want to sign a petition, they can go to colorofchange.org and sign the petition, and then we'll go from there. I don't know where to go. Like I was reading somewhere where the ministers, that's a good sign. The ministers have gotten together and they've decided whether or not they're going to endorse the prosecutor that that prosecuted the grand jury. You know,
what does that tell you? We have lost our minds. We have, you know, when ministers do these things, when they come back from doing something like that, it is incumbent upon all of their parishioners not to show up at church anymore. Just don't show up. These people fail in their stewardship because they're compromised people. We don't have fearless people anymore.
No, we don't. We
have people who tolerate this level of cowardice. And so we are stuck in this morass where we can't get movement because the people who should be leading are the key impediments to progress. And that's the story. That's where we are. And we are deciding, for whatever reason, that we can't or won't clean house.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Mitchell, for calling today.
All right. Thank you.
And one more time, you want to tell us about that website? thecolorofchange.org. Okay. We're still in Brooklyn. Clarence, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, Clarence.
I know. How are you?
Fine, thank
you. Hello? Good, good, good. Listen, we should have known that Eric Holder was bad news before he ever thought about becoming Attorney General. He represented the Chiquita executives, and they were charged with killing union organizers in Colombia, throwing them from high altitude flying helicopters. Being that he's not a man of principle, he took the case because it's the money that he was paid. Then you have the case of Troy Anthony Davis when he became Attorney General. Troy Anthony Davis was a case that cried out for civil rights and as well as human rights consideration. And all he had to do was tell those crackers in Savannah, Georgia,
Wait a minute. Let's not use these kinds of words. Not on this program.
All right. I apologize. These are gentlemen of white supremacy mentality to hand the case over to me, and this case is a civil rights case. No, he didn't do that. Troy Anthony's poor older sister suffering from breast cancer. It was in remission for a while, but after they killed her brother Troy, and that she saw that the system had destroyed, no one came to the rescue to save his life, including the Holder. The cancer came back, and she was taken away. She died within a few weeks after her brother was executed. You're talking about the fact that black people do not pay attention. As often says, Maddox says, talking to the wrong people, raising the wrong questions, and knocking on the wrong doors. The black pastors are clueless, rendering them to be useless. Where are the Bill Jones? There might be one in Greensboro named William Barber, Dr. Barber, but he's one man that might be facing being fired by the national branch because he is an embarrassment. Because he dare say things that even the national, when was the last time you heard the national branch with the legal defense come to the rescue of all these outstanding cases? You got a young man, Tamir Rice, out there in Cleveland.
But it seems we have a good picture and a clear analysis of what is happening. I'm always asking the question, what are we doing? With all the clarity that we have, what are we doing with it? That's the problem.
Oh, nothing.
Well, there
nothing.
You go. We can't do nothing and expect something to happen. At some point,
everybody's waiting for Sharpton to do something.
One of the things you really have to, kind of internalize too, is that part of this thing called oppression is that it slows you down because you become so overburdened, so overwhelmed with this notion of defeat that sometimes you just can't even see a way to put one foot in front of the other. But we have to do it because those who went before us, that's what they did, and that's why we're here.
That's right.
Thanks a lot, Clarence, for your call today.
Yeah.
Let's go to Michigan. Leona, you're on the air.
Afternoon to your PRN audience. Can you hear me okay?
Thank you. How are you?
I'm well. All things considered, I'm well. Thank you, ma'am. Listen, I wanted to touch on three things, maybe four, if time allows. One, I wanted to talk about the Honorable Dr. Frances Kress Welsing, who recently departed her physical body January 2 of this year. I want to talk about Reverend Edward Pinckney. I'd like to touch on Attorney Alton Maddox and Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. Okay, in terms of Dr. Frances Kress Welsing, well, back in the day, Harriet Tubman was said to have said, I freed 1,000 slaves that could have freed 1,000 more if only they knew they were slaves. Dr. Claude Anderson has called Frances Kress Welsing a modern-day 20th century Harriet Tubman. On February 11th, that'll be the 40-day ascension for Dr. Frances Kress Welsing. But what I want to do is share a small quote of her. One thing she said was that self-respect is more powerful than a nuclear weapon. Self-respect is more powerful than a nuclear weapon. In terms of white supremacy, she defines it as follows, and we do live under a system of global, local white supremacy, but I'll be brief if I can. It said she, in her book, The ISIS Papers, she wrote the following. She says, as a black behavioral scientist and practicing general and child psychiatrist, my current functional definition of racism, white supremacy, is as follows. She says, the local and global power system, structured and maintained by persons who classify themselves as white, whether consciously or subconsciously determined, this system consists of patterns of perception, logic, symbol formation, thought, speech, action, and emotional response, as conducted simultaneously in all areas of people activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. The ultimate purpose of the system is to prevent white genetic annihilation on Earth, a planet in which the overwhelming majority of people are classified as non-white, black, brown, red, yellow, by white-skinned people. All of the non-white people are genetically dominant in terms of skin coloration compared to the genetically recessive white-skinned people. That's from her book, The ISIS Papers, Keys to the Colors, published in 1991. Okay, that's what I want to say about the Honorable Dr. Kress Welsing. I want to talk about Reverend Edward Pinckney now.
Because you had four things, and I just wanted to kind of, if you can give us a...
Tighten it up?
To tighten it up a little bit, because we have so many people online.
Okay. Reverend Pinckney was one of the first in Michigan, leading the fight against emergency management, which can be traced back to this genocide going down in Flint right now. Reverend Pinckney is in jail, prison,
yes,
falsely accused, and he needs assistance. And if people go to BH Banco website, they could find out how to help Reverend Pinckney. That's BHBANCO.org.
For Reverend Edward Dr. Pinckney on. In fact, I've been asking for updates. He apparently is not able to receive phone calls now. They've become even more restrictive. But still, he is to be supported, and I will be talking again about him very shortly. But I haven't lost him from my memory at all.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Thank you. And I wanted to talk about Attorney Alton Maddox. I learned about him from listening to your show, and I have great respect for that brother. Every month I try to send him something, some money, to Friends of Alton Maddox, P.O. Box 35, Bronx, New York, because I don't want to be a social parasite. I don't have a lot of money, but every time I get some, I put some in the mail for that brother to help him help us. So I just wanted to encourage people to send contributions to Friends of Alton Maddox, P.O. Box 35, Bronx, New York, area code, zip code 10471. And the last thing I wanted to touch on was Mr. Neely Fuller, and the four things he suggests that, you know, people do to help combat the system of white supremacy, the victims of white supremacy. And this is my understanding, and I'll be brief. One, when it comes to every day, you know, ask yourself four questions. One, what do I want to do? Two, why do I want to do what I want to do? Three, how do I plan to do what I want to do? Four, what do I expect the constructive result to be of what I want to do? So that's all I want to share.
Thank you so much for your contribution today, Leona, from Michigan. Thank you so much. From Dallas, it's Sarah.
Greetings to you, Utrecht.
Hello.
Yes, Utrecht. Am I coming in clear?
Yes, indeedy.
Okay, yes. Greetings to you, Utrecht, and to the PRN listening audience. It's been a while. How have you been?
Fine. I'm hanging in. Thank you.
Oh Lord, you're not hanging. We're gonna have to cut this rope with you because you always hanging.
No more hanging in. I'm doing well. Thank you so much for asking.
Yeah. Oh, you're so welcome, Utrecht. But to touch on my open free my mind this Friday, Utrecht. I have not been following this political theater, Utrecht, because what I have to do is I have to completely divorce myself from it. I've been picking up bits and snippets from it because I go through the dials and I listen to hear what other people are talking about. But what really and truly troubles me is what's going on here with this cycle, especially with everybody pushing this Hillary Clinton, the Bernie Sanders, since O'Malley has suspended or dropped out of the race. And they're trying to tell you, especially when I'm hearing intelligent people are saying that if you don't vote, then it's a vote for the Republicans. So I'm saying to myself, I said, this is, you just really and truly, what I wish that black people would do, I wish we would stop voting. I wish and truly that we would get the ballot taken from us, because if we think our only option is to go to the polls and vote for better of two evils, or to say we have to get a Democrat in office because that's the only way that we're going to progress, all you are doing is you are voting for the Ku Klux Klan Party, because you are not the Democratic Party that you are voting for today is not the same as the Democratic Party is the Republican Party that you are voting for, because these people, they flip-flop. As a matter of fact, I always keep telling people there are no such thing as two parties. It's one political system. It's a capitalist system with different wings within this system. I don't care if Bernie Sanders is calling himself a socialist Democrat, the Green Party, whatever. At one time or the other, all of these people were within the same corporate system. They all get their funding from the same source, because all of these people, whether it be the Koch brothers or whoever else they put out there as their front man, they are hedging their bets. They're betting on all sides. And what I find very, very, very disingenuous is this issue with Donald Trump. And they're saying, well, he's a self-made man. Donald Trump is saying all of the racist rhetoric raw racism that the rest of these clowns want to cloak and hide behind and try and be a bit more refined in saying Donald Trump is coming right out front and saying it. And to me, what I find very troubling is that here it is. Here is a man who has filed bankruptcy several times. He's gotten several bills. They want to say he self-made. This man is on his third wife who is not even a natural-born United States citizen. She has done several spreads in several men's magazines and have these images out here. I don't hear anybody talking about this, so you can see how the media is in cahoots with what's going on because they have never mentioned anything about the qualification of talking about the scandal, his wife's background. It has never come into play, but they're always talking about the Obamas, their children, and everybody else is fair game, but Donald Trump is off the table. They haven't mentioned anything about his wife. They haven't mentioned about his affairs, his business dealings. The same thing goes with Ted Cruz. I'm saying to myself, according to their constitution, it says that you're supposed to be a natural-born United States citizen. Ted Cruz's father is a Cuban. His mother is a Canadian, and he was born in Canada. How come the birders, show me your papers crowd, how come they haven't been out here asking Ted Cruz, or say, Ted Cruz, how come you could win the Iowa caucus? You're not really a U.S. citizen. How come you are still in this presidential race? So you can see that these people, they have an agenda to push, and that's why I've been slowly divorcing myself from the political process you treat, because I find that if the black people as a whole, we tend to get all emotionally involved like we do with religion and everything else we get involved in. We jump full body into it, and we don't know a darn thing. We don't investigate. We don't do our back row. We just jump into it because we think this is the way of us getting acceptance from the dominant culture. It's by we taking part in all of the crap that they are doing, which is why we see our children running around here showing their behinds. They're tattooing themselves. They're doing all these crazy things because they feel this is the way for them to gain acceptance from the dominant crowd and acceptance at what cost.
So where does that put you politically? Where are you?
Politically, Utrice, I don't care. You see, Utrice, I really don't care because self-determination for us is not going to come from a poll. It's not going to come from a ballot box. If black people are going to sit around here and depend on the same institutions, the same individuals that benefited us, that put us in enslavement, that caused dirty water in Michigan and all this slow genocide that we've been on ever since we so-called got emancipated in 1865 for the 150 years that we have been on this slow kill, if you think that this same system is somewhere or the other is going to give you by you going into it and you voting and putting people into office, as we can see, all of these cities that are under attack, that are being regentrified, it's on the Democratic leadership. It's all Ferguson, Baltimore, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C. It's all Democrats. They're under that. Michigan, part Flint. It's all on the Democrat, even though they might have Schneider is a so-called Republican over the state. But these people are all Democrats. And if we think, Utrice, if you are just a small person within this system, you are a mayor, a police chief, or whatever it is you are, you call yourself a black person, and you don't have any control to get clean drinking water to your people, and you're sitting in there as the mayor of a city, what does it tell us about what does it tell us about the rest of us? This country has been privatized. Utrice, everything in this country is privatized. I look where we are here in Dallas, Utrice. They're turning the roads into toll roads. There's construction all over this road in within Dallas metro area that they are privatizing it, and now they're telling you that you have to pay a fee if you want to drive on these roads. They're putting in these tolls, and the United States don't control the toll roads. It's all foreign companies that control these roads and these bridges and everything else. And the water system, everything has been controlled by them because the United States has sold out. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? These people are going to crank up as much pressure on us, Utrice, until we get to the point where we're going to have to break off and rebel and say enough is enough. But at this point where we at, we have all the TVs, all the sporting events, all of these things that black people and everybody else are so entertained with, video games and all this stuff that we are anesthetizing ourselves with so that we can subtract ourselves from our reality. We had better get back into actual reality. We have become a people that want to subsist on fantasy. And it starts from childhood with these religion I'm telling you about fairies and angels and people flying around in the sky and all of this not. So we grew up into adults with the same thing. We ought to live in an alternate universe. We don't want to deal with reality. And that's why we keep getting smacked in the face on a daily.
I think that is, you're expressing a sentiment that is widely believed. I mean, people understand what you say because it happens to be true. A lot of it is true. And this is the dilemma. Part of the cost of oppression is that you literally lose your mind. And it takes a while for people to wake up. It really does take a while because there are so many ways. That's the ultimate battle, is to make sure that your minds are in the hands of your enemy, so you can't move anywhere anytime soon, you know. Thanks so much, and great to hear from you after a while, such a long time. Let's go to Brooklyn. David, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, Utrice.
Hello.
There's so much to talk about, but I just want to bring up a short thing. You know, people are always talking about race and people of color and white people and whatnot. I think it's time to bring on a good anthropologist that can shed some light on this. As far as I know, all the people on Earth are of one species, and the reason that people look different in various parts, there are reasons for it, and an anthropologist needs to explain. For example, most of these people we call white people. If you go far enough back into their history, they had an origin in Africa, as well as all the other people on Earth. I mean, so I'm not an anthropologist, and I don't feel qualified to explain all this, but all this division, and I think basically people are different because of their genetic makeup and the climate and environment where they went after they left Africa maybe 60, 70, 80,000 years ago. So I think it would be valuable for that type of person, that anthropologist, to come and explain that to people a little better than David could do it. So,
okay, we'll take that into consideration. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you very much, Utrice. If people want to see me, they can see me on YouTube. All right, so long now.
Thank you so much. Vincent, you're on the air.
You and good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
I'm just calling to let people know that we had reported either sometime early this morning or late last night, police showing up in another public housing development in this time in the Bronx, in the Melrose houses, and a black male ends up shot dead. It was said that two police officers were wounded in this confrontation, and a third was present. And it was said that there were two males in a hallway that might have been drinking, and all of this results in a black male ending up dead. So things like this have to be, you know, noticed and followed, because we had a Kai Gurley shot in the hallway by a young officer in Brooklyn. So more and more of these things are occurring in public housing developments, and these are people of color, mainly black males, who are being assassinated, some might say. That's all I wanted to point out for today.
But let me ask you, what should the response be?
I've thought about that, and one way I would say it is that if these killings keep happening to people of color, mainly black people, within certain neighborhoods, certain things in those neighborhoods have to be ignored, somewhat boycotted. And this has to take place structurally. If police in certain areas of the city are going to keep killing black people, especially unarmed, well, then certain services are going to have to be just ignored, and we just take care of our needs. You know, no more PAL, no more dancing in the street with block parties with police officers, no more friendly gatherings with police officers, on duty, off duty, no more, we protect our own. We don't have to ask for police protection. If we care about one another, we should show that to one another. No more inviting law enforcement into public housing, residential meetings, and meetings of the community. If community wants to make change, they're going to have to get together on their own and do it. No more talk. If they truly have each other's back and they are their brothers and sisters' keeper, no talk about it. Show about it.
You think that will happen anytime soon?
Well, the thing about it is that it's going to be so clear in people's faces that they have no other choice. They're going to be looking around for answers and looking at each other. And the boogeyman will not be around because it's just a myth. Your help starts with you.
Thank you, Vincent, for your call today. Well, you know, we use this forum to just float our ideas and our thoughts and our opinions, our observations about day-to-day living, what is shaping our collective and individual perception. And also, because things that shape your perception tend to shape your actions, what you do as a result of what you know. So I think we need to engage each other a lot more in conversation. And this is one of the beauties of PRN. I'm asking you to help promote this program among those that you know, people in your circle. Let them know the value of a PRN and the value of a lead stories. This is where we talk. It really isn't important whether you agree or disagree. It is important that you at least have access to information that you otherwise would not have access to that might help you make better sense of the universe that we are operating in and that very often has us at a disadvantage. And the disadvantage largely is lack of information and lack of authentic and authoritative information that makes us make more intelligent decisions. So I thank you always for the quality and the caliber of the discussion here. And let's expand it. Let's make this grow. And you'll be hearing from me in different ways. DX has made a really wonderful offer to just continue this conversation after the program. I'm going to be talking about that just to get an understanding of how it might work so that we continue even after the program goes off the air to talk for at least another hour or so. So that would be a great thing. And it comes from one of the listeners. I also want to thank you for your continued encouragement. It helps me every single day. It helps me navigate my own life. And it's very energizing, and I thank you because I know your thoughts and prayers and good wishes are genuine. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Guns and Butter. And you can reach me at leadstories@gmail.com. Let me know what you think of this program and what you may want to be explored. Yes, suggestions. It's great. A lot of things can work when suggestions are good. It's a pleasure always and a great privilege to be in your company. I sincerely mean that. And I also mean to share with you just a little bit of advice. It's the weekend, but whether it's the weekend or not, just absolutely jettison negative people and negative things from your life. You have no room for that. Surround yourself with people who bring good things to you, and with whom you can enjoy a positive interaction. That is life itself. So thanks for listening today. Thanks for contributing. And thanks for passing the word about PRN and about Lead Stories. We'll see each other Monday. Have yourselves a great weekend. Bye-bye.